Hi, welcome to Endometriosis Journey to Butterfly. I'm Letitia. Today's topic is, well, something that I feel needs to be talked about, and it is how your period can affect your bowels. It's not something that we really like to talk about, or even that we do talk about, but it is something worth talking about, especially if you have endometriosis on your bowel. It can really affect you. So, what am I talking about, how your period or cycle can affect your bowel movements? Well, if you have, we all know about endometriosis and the inflammation. Well, if it's on your bowel, then it starts having issues as well. So it can start to inflame and all of this stuff. So I have noticed recently, it was something I went back, because I keep track of my symptoms and different things. Went back and noticed how right probably a week to a week and a half before my period, my bowels just go crazy. There's no other way to explain it. And I have gone to doctors about it because I'm like, what is going on with it? Not, you know, no one's realized, or I didn't realize it until after I got my laparoscopic, that it probably has something to do with bowel endometriosis. And that's endometriosis that is on your bowel. Now, depending on where it is on your bowel, it may or may not be able to be removed, but you have to know that you have it to have that type of surgeon in there. Like, your gynecologist, who's normally doing your surgery, is not going to take care of the bowel. They're not going to take any endometriosis off the bowel or anything like that. So you need a specialist to help with that. But if you don't know you have it, then you can't have the specialist in there, which is what I wish I would have known at the time. So I don't know exactly when exactly it happened, but I do know that I started having really bad bowel problems in 2013. Can't think of anything significant that happened that year, just that my bowels were really, really bad. They were so bad. Sometimes, you know, they kept me from going to work. It was that bad. I have thrown up after one. It was that bad. That's basically when it all started for me. With the bowel problems was in 2013. It would, my bowels are thankfully a little better than they were then on some level. Then it was constant. It was like clockwork. I would have bowel movements every morning that would cause nausea. Like I said, I threw up a couple times. Extreme bloating, which is just as bad, if not worse, than endo belling. So that was horrible, and it happened every single morning, just like clockwork. And I had all the tests done. I had, even though I was nowhere close to 40, ended up having to have colonoscopy, of course, didn't see anything, did all of these other tests, had blood work, just this, that, and the other. They cannot find anything, but keep having bowel problems, not getting any better. So they, it goes on. So basically, when you don't know what it is, you kind of classify it as irritable bowel syndrome, because it's kind of a catch-all phrase for anyone having bowel problems on some level. You can be constipated, you can have diarrhea, I mean, it just covers the gamut. So they're like, well, maybe you have IBS and all of this. And I'm like, I really didn't accept, you know, it could be IBS, but I really didn't accept that that's all that it was. As fast as it came, like, it just came out of the blue in 2013, and then how long it has stayed. So it's like, if I had IBS and all of this, then it seems like it would have not waited all that time to come, and it's something that seems like they would have been able to, like, they would have said it sooner is what I feel like. I feel like it was just the diagnosis because we can't find anything else, but she's still having these issues. So, you know, I've had, like, every test there is at some point over this journey of finding out I do have endometriosis and trying to figure out about my bowels. So, I was honestly talking to a friend that knows I have stomach problems and all of this, and mentioned, you know, she's like, well, does it relate to your period? And I'm like, I don't know, maybe it does, because I have, you know, endometriosis on my bowel, so maybe, you know, it does relate to it. But it's like, I'm really not sure. I've got to do more investigation. So I started thinking about it, and I'm like, okay, well, when, like, my bowels are bad, but when are they the worst? And so I started looking back to see if I could see a pattern. Then also, I came across an article about it, and I'm like, that's really interesting. So it's something that happens to a lot of women, based on hormone changes, which I thought was very interesting. It's constipation, diarrhea, or more frequent bowel movements. For me, it's more frequent, honestly. And it relates that over 3/4 of people have this issue. And it's just very interesting to me that, first off, even to this day, that has never been brought up to me about maybe it's my hormones, my period, about endometriosis, on the bowel, anything like that. Like, my doctor, my OBGYN, I did switch OBGYNs post-op, but at my post-op visit, never went over the operative report. And I know I talked about my operative report in general in a previous episode, and I said you should always get your operative report from surgery. It tells you everything that opened from the time they put you to sleep, basically, until they wheeled you out of the OR. So basically, everything that happened in the OR is in that report, when they started surgery, what time it was, how long it was, you know, just everything. What they did, what instruments they used, how much blood you lost, just everything, which is, I feel like it's good to know. And, you know, I always look at it. But never has anyone mentioned anything about me having bowel endometriosis. I saw on my operative report that there's some endometriosis on my bowel. Don't know how much. Don't know anything else about it besides it just is like, oh, some endometriosis is on the bowel. So I don't really know at this point. I, you know, it comes up in a conversation when I mention it, and then it's kind of like most people, I don't know, they don't know much about it, maybe, because I have never, you know, been told, oh, well, let's, since we know what it is and you have some on here, let's go in and see how bad it was. Never, you know, never have talked about it. Never have talked about, oh, things might get worse for your period. Let's do this, let's do that. Basically, it's just like, oh, we don't know why. It's just your body and this and that. But obviously, it's not just my body. It's something that happened that 3/4 of women, or about 75% of women, experience some type of change with their bowel. So it's not just a problem with endometriosis, it's a problem in general, but endometriosis can make it worse and cause those issues. So our hormones, as we know, go up and down during our cycle. Well, they feel like the hormones may stimulate the contractions in the intestines and bowels, which are close to the uterus, which might cause more frequent bowel movements. They also reduce how the body absorbs water, which increase the risk of diarrhea. So it's hard to tell the difference between having uterus cramps, aka I'm having cramps because I'm on my period, or stomach or intestinal cramps, and they're both uncomfortable and painful. Well, I can tell the difference personally, because I've had, okay, so I can tell the difference because I've had my stomach pain since 2013, and I was on the pill for a long time, so I didn't really have menstrual cramps, but I didn't have a period on the pill. But since I've come off the pill, I've been off the pill for over 14 months, then sometimes I do have cramps. Well, I can tell the cramps are kind of in a different area of my stomach than having pain from the bowel movement. But if you have cramps and you have this, then you may think, oh, you're cramping early and this and that. But it's basically your hormones are causing all of this. Hormones do a lot of different things to the body. And so it also talks about, there's IBS and there's they call it, irritable bowel disorder, which they check for as well. But it talks specifically about the progesterone associated changes can make constipation worse. So you may not have a bowel movement for a while. And they talked about specifically people with endometriosis, fibroids, and ovarian cysts. Well, check, check, check. I have endometriosis, have fibroids, and I've had cysts. But I don't have constipation. Like, I don't go several days and not have a bowel movement. And then it talks about, too, you're going to experience your other PMS symptoms as well when you're going through your cycle. But part of the reason they feel like it is when you are in your cycle and the progesterone, which comes closer to your period, comes right before your period, it can have you hungry. So basically it's saying that it can cause you to eat things that may be hard for your body to digest. So they're saying maybe that's why you notice differences in consistency and regularity because of your period, because you might be eating more comfort foods. Like when you're gonna start your period, maybe you're eating more ice cream, maybe you're eating chocolate, and maybe your body has a hard time digesting that food. That could be, that could be true for some people. I'm not someone who eats more or eats certain things when it's my period, but I know a lot of people do. So that is, could be one thing. Now, something that gets you every time, stress. Stress will affect you on so many levels. And they're saying that stress could cause you to have your bowel problems. You could have constipation or diarrhea again. And it says people who report greater sensitivity to pain or discomfort can have problems as well. So, let's talk about that. So, if you have sensitivities, it's like, what is sensitivity to pain? Let's be real. Do a lot of women really have sensitivity to pain? We've got to go through cramps every month. Bad cramps. Especially those as endo warriors. We have to do laparoscopic procedures. All of this. So I really don't think per se that it is sensitivity to pain. Because I don't think endo warriors are not sensitive to pain. all of the things that we have had to go through to get our diagnosis. Some of us have had laparoscopic procedures. Some of us have had hysterectomies. And those sisters have had a lot of things. Some people have had their uterus removed. Some have had their uterus and their ovaries, which kicks them into menopause. So I don't think we can sit here and say that us endo warriors have a sensitivity to pain. If anything, I feel like we go through a lot of pain that we probably don't share with people about how much pain we're actually in. And we probably always don't take anything for it either. I know personally for me, do I like pain? No, I don't. But based on this situation, this journey, then I have, that's just part of it, is the pain. So you learn on some level it's bad, but on some level you learn how to deal with it more without having to take pain medicine, basically. Ibuprofen or NSAIDs, something like that. So you learn to deal with the pain naturally, or just deal with it. So I don't think that pain is something, I don't think we have an insensitivity to pain. But one thing that, might help is they claim taking fiber. So, fiber is good. It can help you bulk up your bowel, so you may not have as much diarrhea and all of that. And that's something that they've told me, make sure you get more fiber. So fruits, veggies, and whole grains. And it'll, that'll help keep it regular so you don't go through the cycle. Also, it talks about movement. Moving your body. Now, endo warriors, I know some days we are just having a heck of a time with our endometriosis, aka inflammation, everything that goes along with it, that we may not feel like moving. But try to get up and move something. Get up and move around. You can go for a short walk. Yoga, something I keep saying I need to try. I have not tried it yet. Yoga is good. People like Tai Chi. Just get up and do something. Weightlifting. I hear there are great videos on YouTube about exercise that I have got to try out sometime. But just move. If it's not some days, if you can't do that much, then don't do that much that day. But do something. And I know I'm bad about that sometimes. If I'm having a flare-up, then I don't want to go on my 6-mile walks that I like to go on. What if it flares back up? And it's just like I'm just kind of hesitant on days that I'm having flare-ups and different things. To really want to be away from the house all the time, because it does take a little while to do 6 miles, even though I have picked up my pace. But on those days, I'm told just do a short walk, do something, move your body, move. Fruits and vegetables, definitely something good. Definitely trying to work on my eating more fruits and vegetables, working on my fruit and vegetable intake personally, trying to drink more water, just all of the different things. They talked about fiber, something I'm willing to try fiber as well. I have, natural remedies, that I'm looking into as well. But again, it always comes back to medication. If your period bowels get in your way, what do they suggest as always? Birth control pills to regulate your period so you don't have one. why does every issue that women have, every issue women have that has to do with your period or anything, why does it always come back to birth control pills? Why are birth control pills considered the end-all be-all? What's so great about them? They just mask your symptoms. So basically, putting you on birth control pills, letting you not have a period, is going to keep you from having bad... Well, it could, it may or may not, it just depends. I was on birth control, still had bad bowel movements. So maybe it will help you, maybe it won't. But I just don't like how every time we have a female problem, then you're fast to want to put us on birth control pills. Birth control pills, like, it's the end all, be all. So, let's see, birth control pills are synthetic, aka fake hormones. So your body may or may not respond well to them. And honestly, they can't... They really don't know what the long-term effects of being on them are. They've studied some, but still, there's a lot to learn, and there are always new pills coming out or new options. So all of those options haven't been studied long-term because on some level, they just came out. So we really don't know about all the effects of it. Like, it's just really frustrating and sad that we're always wanting to put women on birth control pills to, I feel like, suppress, mask their symptoms so we can get them to be quiet and they won't be coming to our office anymore, is how I'm really feeling about it. Because you feel like if you put me on birth control, I won't be coming to your office for a visit because I don't have any issues because I'm not having a period. So you feel like me not having a period is going to keep me from having symptoms that cause me to come to your office. So basically, it's a way for you to get out of having to see me or try to help me. You're just really trying to mask my symptoms. And I really, really, really don't like that. I feel like that is a scapegoat. Like, you're just being a scapegoat, honestly. Why don't we find out what's causing my problem? Yes, now we know I have endometriosis. What do you want to do about it? Put me back on birth control pills. That's not happening. IUD? Don't think so. Maybe there's a shot. Maybe something. Quit trying to put women on birth control pills all the time. We don't want it. We don't need it. Our bodies need real hormones. Like, the hormones our body produces, the estrogen, the progesterone, the testosterone. Our body needs real hormones, not this fake synthetic crap that's in birth control pills. And we don't know what it does to our bodies. And yet you want to keep giving it to us like it's just the greatest thing. Another thing is, in terms of that, I feel like a lot of times you aren't given options, so you do birth control because you don't know any better. I did birth control because I didn't know any better when I was young. Did I need birth control? No. They're like, oh, it'll help your cramps and all of this. So when you're someone who has severe cramps, on some level, you're willing to try pretty much anything to not have those cramps. Which, technically, cramps are your body's way of saying something is wrong. So, I don't know if, you know, I don't know if that's when endometriosis started. I don't know, but cramps are not natural. Read up on it. I've listened to different people. Cramps, you know, your period should just be your period. You should have your period, should not have any cramping, should not have clots come out in your period. It should just, you know, flow and just be on your merry way. But most of us, especially those of us with endometriosis and other female diseases, we don't have that. We have cramps, we have inflammation, we have pain, we have endometriosis, we have all that. So our periods are not, quote unquote, what they say is normal. It's not pain free. Sometimes you have clots, sometimes you don't. So basically it's your body's way of saying something is not right. Personally, I'm looking into more natural ways to try to ease that. Like inflammation, we know inflammation is part of the issue with endometriosis. Now, there are certain things that they say help you. I have not tried some. I've tried a few different things, but I have not tried everything. And I haven't been on them long enough to state whether they have helped or not, because I haven't seen a difference yet. But, you know, sometimes it takes a while for your body to regulate and different things like that. Another thing is a lot of times your bowels and your stomach go together. So like if you have GI problems, then a lot of times it affects your bowel. Now something that, you know, I have been told and researched and looked on my own to try to see if I can get my gut and my bowels and stuff together. It just seems to be going okay. But again, it's something new that I just started, are probiotics. Probiotics are really supposed to help you. Help your gut with the bacteria and all of that. And you know, I'm interested to see how they work. I know a lot of people take probiotics and you know they love them and all of that, but I'm just interested to see how they work on me personally. So I will, you know, keep taking them and give an update when I start to notice a change or see something. I mean, I just started them a couple weeks ago, so I haven't noticed anything yet. And I'm having the bowel changes anyway, because it's a couple weeks before my period. So we will see exactly what's going on with them once I have taken them a little longer. But my other advice is make sure you advocate for yourself and you're doing everything that you can do to make sure you get better, feel better. Because a lot of times they're just looking to put you on medication, and maybe medication is not what you need. Maybe a change of diet is what you need. So I am open to trying new things, not new medicine, but new things. Like it talks about eat more fruits and vegetables and fiber. You know, I'm open to that to see if that helps. I'm trying to drink more water. Water is always good in general. So sometimes we have to be open to try new things, new recipes, just try our way, change our way of eating to see if that helps. Stress is a hard one to figure out how to change, but and especially since we're in a pandemic. So honestly, we need to try, I know it's so hard, we're in a pandemic, but try to do self-care, something that you enjoy, try to take some stress off, because stress plays a role in a lot of stuff, and stress can definitely make your endometriosis and your inflammation so much worse. And I know it's so hard to sit here and say, how do I get, you know, talking about getting less stress and all of this. But I know that it is something that is needed. And something we need to do. But I know at the same time that it is so hard to be like, how can I get the stress on there? But exercise helps. I feel like personally, stress for me, when I'm stressed, honestly, I feel like going for a walk really helps me. I don't have to think about anything. I'm a thinker, so I think a lot. So I don't have to think about anything. I can just go for a walk and I can listen to music and just zone out. So that's what I like to do. I know everybody's different, so find something that you like to do that will take your mind off of it. Maybe it's, you know, self-care could be as easy as taking a nap. Maybe you like to paint. I hear painting is a great stress reliever. I have always wanted to try painting, but I have not. Some people like to, journal. Journaling and getting their stuff, getting all of their feelings out and writing it down helps them. Some writing. So it's all types of things. For some people, it might be soaking in the bath and everything like that. So it's just whatever you find that you want to do that will help you be able to basically do self-care, feel less stress, whatever can help you, then that's what you should do. So, we have talked about self-care before, but it's something I feel like we should talk about. Just whatever you can do to relax your body and cause less inflammation is the best. I always look up different things to see what I need to do, but there's nothing that can help you more than just doing all of that. So I challenge you to do some self-care. I need to do self-care and be better about it myself, but it's something that can really be helpful. I have a friend who's always doing self-care and is always telling me, you need to do it. And it's like, I don't know why, but I just don't do self-care. Something I need to get better at, but I have not done it at this point. So it's a work in progress, as always, but I do challenge you to do some form of self-care this week. Find something that you like and go from there, and then you can see if it helps you, and if it does, great, I'm so happy. If it doesn't, then you will know that that's not what you need. I am just so happy that we finally may be able to get some research done. Maybe they can find out I'm hoping the research will give us more answers. Maybe we can find out exactly what is going on between the bowels and endometriosis and period. And then it talked about fibroids and cysts. Maybe with some research, the research we have, maybe we can finally figure out what is causing all of this. What caused it in general? I mean, it's something we should be talking about in general, because 75% of women deal with something like that. So why are we not looking into that to see what's going on with it? We just really don't know what's going on or why it is and all of this. And can we please get a more natural treatment to help? Because birth control pills, I know I've talked about it over and over again, are not acceptable to me. I really want to hear from some of you. What do you think about birth control pills? Do you like them? Do you not like them? Did you take them because you felt like there's no other option? That's really why I took them, because I was young and didn't think that there were any other options. And I feel like you feel like your doctor has your best interest at heart. So it's like if they prescribe it on some level, then you think, okay, well, it must be the best thing, this, that, and the other. May or may not be the case. But, you know, I've learned that no, I'm not going to take that, and I want to do something different. And I mean, that's my choice. That's what I want to do. Do the doctors like it? Not really. But at this point, I mean, that's what I want to do. So that's what I choose to do. It's not, I'm not saying that everyone has to take that route. That's just a route that I chose. And that's what I want to do with my body. I want to try natural and see if I can heal it that way. Because obviously, the medication, all the things that they've tried, obviously have not worked. Because I'm still having problems. So, that's just my take on it. Love to hear your take on it. You can email me, leave me a message. I will read your comments on here. As always, I appreciate everyone listening. I am just so, so thankful and just appreciate everyone listening to me. I know I have listeners in over 36 countries. So shout out to all of you. I'll have to shout you guys out again sometime. But I appreciate it. I look to see what kind of episodes my listeners like and try to do something on that. I decided to do this episode, honestly, because it's something I deal with personally. And it was interesting that I read an article about it. And it's just something that I think we need to get out. I do also suggest that you keep track of your symptoms. I keep track of my symptoms, honestly, two ways. I keep track of it, electronically. I have a fitness app that will keep track of my, that I can keep track of my symptoms with. And I'm also old school and use a paper pencil calendar. So I keep track of my symptoms that way as well. Because you never know when technology may not work. But I like to keep up with my symptoms and see what's going on. How was I feeling today? Do I notice any difference in this, that, and the other? That's just me personally. I feel like that's something that is so important to keep track of symptoms. Just something that there's just so many different things that keeping track of your symptoms and going back, seeing a pattern, there's so many things that you can figure out on your own. Like, if I would have never kept track of my periods, and if I never would have kept track of my bowel movements, I never would have realized the correlation that a couple weeks before my period is when my bowels get bad if I did not keep track of them. Also, keeping track of your period lets you know how your cycle goes, what's normal, and yes, your body fluctuates, and this and that, and period changes can be caused by other things as well. Sometimes endometriosis, bad flare-up might happen, stress again is one of them that causes all types of problems. But it's good, I feel like, to know your body and know what's normal and what's not normal, and don't freak out if you have changes, honestly. My cycle changes, honestly, in the amount of days that it is. So, you know, 1 month, maybe it's 28 days, but maybe the next month it's 30 days. And then maybe the next month after that, maybe it's 29 or it's 30 again. Sometimes it just runs the gamut. That's just, your body just goes up and down. But it is something you should keep track of. Now, if my body goes... Now, I would know it's kind of weird if I went from a 28-day cycle to a 35-day cycle the next month. Then I'd be starting to wonder what's going on and is it something, you know, sometimes it could be a fluke. Sometimes it may be that you have an off month and something might have caused a stress, something, so you have it. But you need to keep track of patterns to see if it's something that's regular. And I think that it's so important to have... to keep track of that. So I will be looking into having something to help you track your periods and your symptoms, because I feel like that is so important. So I will be working on something to try to come up with that, and I will definitely share it and let you guys know exactly what it is. But that's one of the ways I feel like we can help as well, is just to have something to keep track. Maybe you don't know exactly what to keep track of, but that's something that I will work on developing some type of way to keep track of your symptoms. That will be my next project. So, as always, thank you for listening to this episode of Endometriosis Journey to Butterfly. And I hope that you learned some information, that you will look out for the new product that I'm going to create for you guys. And again, reach out to me, email me, questions, comments. If you have suggestions on the creation process, you want to talk about your issues, there's a topic you want me to talk about, just send me an email, leave a message on here. I'm always happy to hear from my listeners and see what they are thinking and all of that. I want to know, check in, let me know how you're doing, how are your symptoms doing, what kind of self-care are you doing? What are you doing to keep your spirits up? What are you doing to be less stressed? What are you doing to manage your endometriosis? Now, I know some of you have great natural remedies. Please share them with me. I'm always open to learn something new and try something new. But that is this week's episode of Endometriosis Journey to Butterfly. As always, it's every other Saturday at 12:45 p.m. Central Standard Time. So our next episode will be on Saturday, September 19th at 12:45 p.m. Central Standard Time. I really appreciate all my listeners from all 36 countries. It's amazing. You guys help me to keep doing this podcast. Like I said, it's all about you and trying to educate you. And I will definitely be working on the project. So, as always, thank you again. And stay safe and have an amazing day and rest of your week. Again, thank you so much for tuning in. Talk to you soon.